I do not envy our last presenter because she has the hard task of being last before we're released for the day. But you're going to want to stay in your seats because this is a great presentation. What all estate and probate attorneys need to know about Medicaid planning. Our presenter for this last presentation is Meredith Sullivan. She's an attorney with Farrell & Johnson in Austin, Texas. She's a graduate of Bucknell University, and she got her JD from Baylor Law School. She's a frequent poster on the listserv, and she knows she's who I call when I have questions about Medicaid. So we're very grateful for her offering her time and knowledge today. Please help me welcome Meredith Sullivan.
All right, everyone, bear with me. I think PowerPoints are pretty much the bane of my existence, but we're gonna get through this together. Good afternoon. I'm here today to discuss the intersection between estate planning and elder law, and I know Jen just did a phenomenal job at that, so if there's a little overlap, bear with us. And yes, I do recognize that I am all that stands between us and happy hour, so I will try to make this worthwhile. And to hopefully give you some tips and tricks that will help you in your own practices when dealing with clients who need long-term care planning. CMS estimates that at least 70% of people over 65 will need long-term care services and support at some point in their lifetime, and reminds consumers that Medicare health insurance and supplemental plans do not cover long-term care services in the home or a facility. Nor do under 65 health insurance plans, something that did not change under the Affordable Care Act. Outside of Medicaid's various programs, all of which are means tested, no health insurance program includes long-term care coverage. Do estate planning attorneys always need to include Medicaid in their planning? Not necessarily. If sufficient assets are available to support long-term care needs in the care setting preferred by the family for each possible beneficiary, and the person leaving gifts of his or her estate is not adverse to the use of that property to pay for long-term care expenses, then that use of an inheritance need not be avoided by preserving potential Medicaid eligibility. However, estate planning needs to account for the uncertain future, planning for incapacity or disability. What are we talking about when we talk about long-term care? Well, it can take any number of meanings or manifestations. It's often a very bad version of a choose-your-own-adventure novel. I can work with clients in my office to design a beautiful care plan with a wonderful estate plan, wonderful will, both spouses living at home, limited care hours, dying peacefully in their beds. They sign their documents, they walk into the parking lot, mom trips and falls, and that beautiful plan goes right out the window. Now, I'm not going to be able to teach you everything about Medicaid in the next, 43 minutes. But I've been at Farrell & Johnson for 12 years now, so I know a few things. Not everything, but a few. So I'm hoping that I can help you understand some of the scope and complexity of the Medicaid world when we talk about estate planning in general. I'm going to identify some of the traps for the unwary and some strategies for winning superb results for your clients. Qualifying them for the safety net of government-provided medical Medicaid and long-term care benefits when their private resources are inadequate to sustain a decent quality of life, or if the goal is to preserve certain assets. Okay. So long-term care is really expensive. When we talk about assisted care facilities, assisted living facilities, it's between $64,000 and $84,000 a year. Skilled nursing facilities, $107,000 to about $120,000 or more per year. And home care, 24-hour care, is about $201,000 a year. Not many people who walk into my office can sustain that for very long. In general, when we talk about Medicaid, we're referring to Title 19 of the Social Security Act.